It's time to drop the puck. Time for the Nightcap. Your home for news and insider info on your Vegas Golden Knights and the NHL. Let's hear from the goalie. Here's Lindsey Brown.
And welcome to the Nightcap Podcast. My name is Lindsey Brown, your host always and forever of CBS Sports Radio 1140 fame. You can follow me on Twitter at LindseyBrown35 and at Linds, LindsBrown35 on the Instagrams. And tonight, I am unsurprisingly joined by my very close personal best friend, Ryan Quinn.
It's me. What's up, guys?
Hello, it is me.
This is not just a normal episode of the Nightcap.
This is not a normal episode.
This is the Nightcap.
Literally.
At night.
Literally the Nightcap, for which the name is taken from the Nightcap.
Yes.
To cap off your night, because we are indeed recording this, and it is currently 10:36 p.m.
Yes.
On Tuesday, October 8th, mere minutes after the Vegas Golden Knights suffered their first loss of the season at the hands of the worst city in America.
Oh, my God. Can we...
To the Boston Bruins.
Can we go through it again and just talk about how much we dislike
we can.
The city of Boston?
We can, but first I do want to tell the story about how we got
here.
Oh,
yeah, okay, yeah, because I was...
Because you and I, we go to the Golden Knights games, we're credentialed, we talked about this on the last Nightcap podcast, which can be found on CBS Sports Radio 1140.radio.com in case you missed it.
And you should go listen to it.
And you should go listen to it and listen to the latest and greatest and first, at least returning podcast of Hockey Wilderness that we both
that is right.
recorded just a mere days ago.
We that is right.
We are churning. We are content creators.
We're just like locomotives.
Dedicated.
Nothing can stop us.
Like Thomas, his friends.
Oh my God. Like
Thomas.
They can try. But
all
man.
The trains. Took you a second there, didn't it? Didn't
yeah.
it? It's okay.
That was weird.
All right. So we left. We were leaving the press conference, a very short press conference. We usually leave the rink around 11.
Typically, it was a very short, yeah.
And we were walking on the building 10-10,
yeah,
think.
It's a loss, so, like, you know, like, they don't want to talk. No one wants
no,
to talk. So,
no
like, they're,
ju- talk.
They're just trying to get through everything
Got
and
it.
Just go home.
Yep, so we don't drive together to the games, obviously, and we walk to the parking garage usually together because, A, we are friends, and B, I like protection. So, you are my bodyguard when we are going up into the already very, very, very safe ramp that we, the media, get to park in next to the T-Mobile Arena. But we left driving separately. And as I was going on the highway on 215 to turn in to come, you know, record this podcast at 10:30 at night, I just let some random person, like, go in front of me because I'm waiting in line because it's clogged up getting on 15 from 215.
Yeah.
And I let this person in. They wave. I was just like, I did a favor. You're welcome. I look ahead of me.
Was it me?
No, shut up. I'm telling a story. I look in front of me, and I see this car that I just graciously had basically ushered into the lane to go on 215 or wherever that car was going. And they have a Go Birds with a Z license plate. Before I go, I digress. I think to myself, wow. Of all the degenerates you can let into this, I'm not joking, Ryan. This is my first initial thought. I was like, first of all, who gets this license plate? Second of all, it's an Eagles fan, and they're officially the worst people ever. And as I started to drive by, I'm like, wait, what if this is Ryan? And as I go, you were going a little bit slow on the right-hand lane as we were turning on, so I moved over, took a little gander. Well. Who was the douche canoe that I let just slide on into that thing?
I waved.
I waved
to you.
I knew what your car, like, I know what color your car
is,
basically. I've never seen your license plate, and I'm not joking. My first thought was,
who is this
What
punk?
Is this degenerate
Who's
Eagles
this awful
fans
human being?
Like, come on, Lindsay. Yeah. Of all the people to be nice to, and it was you, and this is karma. And you know what? You were nice as well, because I let
waved.
You in early, and you
and I waved.
You opened your window and waved, so thank you.
Yes.
We both paid it
well,
forward.
Okay, so my windows are always down all the time, so
all
you're
right.
not that special that I rolled it all the way
all
down
right.
for you. But
middle fingies.
But yeah.
Middle fingies.
But I wait. So there's nothing that kills me more than when I let people, like, I go out of my way to let someone over.
We're nice people.
And they don't wave or anything, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm never letting you over again.
Yep.
I hope you get an offender bender.
Take this as an example. Vegan, vegan, whatever residents of Las Vegas who are not the greatest of drivers, but that's okay because we're all here for a reason. Use your blinkers, wave when people let you in, and don't get mad when people don't, because the zipper merge is an efficient way to do things, and you're not meant to hop into the lane right away. But now we should talk about hockey, right?
Let's do it.
So Vegas Golden Knights suffer their first loss tonight to the Boston Bruins, 4-3 in that loss. But let me tell you, Ryan, and you'll back me up, the score was not a great indication of the way that game was
played. No, it really wasn't. Like, all right, so let's get you want to just like get started from the beginning and just kind of go from tell the
sure,
story.
Sure, let's go. So, quick, all right. Quick little nightcap for the nightcap.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So they start the game off and they take a 2-0 lead.
Quick.
And really fast. Like the
Looked
first.
Great.
I thought it was going to be a bloodbath. It looked to be that was going to be the case. And then they just kind of, I don't want to say they took their foot off the gas. What you pointed out really was that the Boston Bruins made some good adjustments. And next thing you know, it's 4-2 in the second period.
Well, some other things transpired between 2-0 and 4-2. But yes, essentially, because it was really quick, all of the scoring, because the Knights got off to a quick start, got two goals right away. Mark Stone opening up. Who had the second goal? Do you remember?
Oh, gosh.
Look, why don't you bring up the box score?
Yeah, let's do that.
People will forgive us because we are 20 minutes removed from being the
first ring.
Exactly, yeah. But they scored, and we were up 2-0. Like you said, everybody was vibing. They were making crisp passes.
Wow.
They were looking like everybody was meant to be where they were. Everybody seemed keyed in on one another. They were dominating
Boston.
Yeah,
they really were.
They were. And they were holding Boston in their defensive zone and getting a lot of traffic in front of Tuukka Rask.
Riley Smith
had
the second goal.
Then, the last few minutes, first 10 minutes of the first period was great. Then the water started to even out a little bit. And then when momentum dies off, and we've said this several times out of the Nightcap podcast, hockey is a game of momentum, the Bruins took advantage, scored a goal, scored another goal before ending the first period. And then what happens right out of the gate, 33 seconds into the second period?
3-2.
3-2 Bruins goal.
Yep.
And this is one of those not unwritten rules in hockey, but this is like one of those parables, or at least that was bestowed upon me. And I was a goaltender, so maybe it's a little more self-absorbed. But my dad always said, when he was coaching us at a young age to so many championships and so many victories in youth hockey up in Minnesota, is one of the best things you can avoid when you're playing hockey is getting scored on in the first minute or the last minute of the period.
Yeah.
Because those last shifts, whether you're on the ice or not, is basically the aura.
It's what
you're
follows
in the
you. It's what
yeah.
follows
you're
you.
You're bringing
that in
the locker room or at the end of the game. And it's such a debilitating thing to either end a period like that or start a period. Because obviously when you start a period, you want to get going. You want to have pep in your step.
Yeah.
But they got scored on and then just, within 2 minutes, 4-2.
Well, see, that's what's interesting. So I'm glad you brought that up because late in the second period, Max Pacioretty hit the post. And
yes.
It makes you wonder if the game, like how much the game would have been different, if at all, it would have been if he had buried that goal.
Absolutely.
Because it was late in the second period.
Mm-hmm.
If they score there, they're only down one goal going into the third period. They're fired up in the locker room. They're like, all right, boys, we can, we're only one away from time.
We would hope they would be fired up because the rest of that period was absolute garbage.
Yeah.
Defensively, because their D zone tonight, they being the Vegas Golden Knights, after those first 10 minutes, they could not get out of their own way. They could not make good breakouts. They could not have any sort of rhythm or tempo to their game. It was so disjointed, especially through the neutral zone. And I'll have to go back and watch some of the game tape. I won't watch all of it because I'm not that crazy.
Well, I'll tell you who it started with. And we talked about this last week about our concerns with the defense. First goal comes from a defensive zone turnover from Derek England.
And who's paired with Nick Hague, a rookie, playing in his second game of all time.
And he actually made a nice little play on that.
Hague tried to play. The problem was
he made the
breakout
right
started and Nick Hague was getting chased. And as a forechecker, as one of the Boston Bruins players comes in and starts to pressure him as he comes behind the net, he realizes that, calls the reverse, which means he just takes it, puts it on his backhand, puts it off the boards behind the net, just behind Marc-Andre Fleury.
Mm-hmm.
And you communicate that to your partner saying, like, hey, I'm going to reverse it to you. Then you guys can go out the other side, the side that I'm going away from. Either that wasn't communicated or it wasn't loud enough or something happened or England just didn't have enough jump in his step to get there. But he was late to get that reverse breakout. And less than 10 seconds later, that goal goes in.
Yeah, yep.
And I understand the Max Pacioretty angle, absolutely. Like, if that goal goes in, and it didn't just hit the post, it hit the post in terms of, like, right in the corner of the net, because play stopped, because it looked like a goal, and it bounced out of the net like it was a goal, like it hit the net and went right out. But it hit that nice little corner, and that's where pucks really start to bounce weird.
Yeah.
But the thing was, and what's annoying, what's great about hockey is that you can play like crap the entire game and still win.
Exactly.
And yeah. and that Pacioretty chance is a perfect example of that. But the rest of that period was an absolute gong show across the board. Excuse me. And Marc-Andre Fleury didn't even really settle himself until halfway through that period anyways either.
His first two goals that he let up were not the best goals. Like, all right, granted, the shot that Marchand took on that. Is it all right, let's talk about his last name. Marchand or Marchand?
I call him Marchand.
I do too.
Brad Marchand.
Brad Marchand. So basically, he gets that breakaway attempt, and the shot, it's a good shot. One of the more perfect shots you'll see.
Shot.
Like, perfectly placed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very few goalies could have stopped that.
Yep.
One-on-one, Marchand's going to make
that. And this loss isn't on Fleury in general.
Yeah. No.
Mm-mm.
But that, was it the second or third goal? I cannot remember
which
one.
I believe third goal was it the scrum in front of the net?
You know what? It was the third goal. It was the third goal was Marchand again because... Mm-hmm.
Garbage collecting?
I believe it was through traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Let me actually go back and make sure that I'm getting that right. But I do believe, I know for a fact that the goal that was not great was Marchand's second goal.
Mm-hmm.
The one that he just kind of, you know, he went through traffic and...
Right. And which is odd, too, because, like we said, the first 10 minutes of that game, it was very much Vegas's game. And usually Fleury is one that settles in relatively quickly. And
yeah.
And it wasn't like he didn't see shots in those first 10 minutes, but he wasn't seeing quality shots. And
excuse
maybe
me.
That's his bit.
It was the first, Marchand's first goal was the one that...
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
His second goal was the breakaway.
Yep.
Yeah, he just... I know there was traffic in front of him and everything,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like when I saw the goal at first, I was like, oh man, someone like deflected that, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, or like it went off a defenseman or something, and then it didn't. It just beat Fleury.
Right.
And like, that's probably one that he would like to, God, I hate saying this, that's probably one he'd like to have back. But it probably is.
Yeah.
You know?
A goalie would like to have every single one.
Yeah,
but yes,
obviously.
Absolutely. And he looked... very, what did I say, jumpy to me tonight. And right off the bat, too, even though he was getting those limited chances early that weren't in great scoring position in terms of the Boston Bruins. And once they scored again, the team kind of gripped their sticks a little bit too tight. You can tell that they're like, uh-oh.
Right.
And they could feel that momentum build against them. And it got crazy. And then they go into the first intermission looking to kind of reset. Then it's 0-0. That it technically is. Even though it's 2-2, everybody's tied up again. But then you go out and you give up that goal 33 seconds in, and then you give it up. And then at that point, that game is basically done.
I was about to say, when that happens, I mean, the odds of kind of rebound. I mean, that's not to say it's never been done before, but the odds are very much in the favor of the team that comes out and breaks that tie.
Absolutely.
Early in the second period.
And it's very likely in the odds that our listeners watch this game as we go through the Nightcap podcast. And we appreciate you guys joining us here on the CBS Sports Radio 1140 podcast network. And Fleury, I think, as that second period wore on, he settled in because I think he kind of realized, like, all right, I got to get this together because
yeah.
the guys in front of me... The defense, it was bad. It was real bad. And it's okay. It's game three. We're not here to say, like, that's it. It's all over. Why are we even here? It's our third game of the season. It's the first team that they've played that hasn't been the San Jose Sharks in a very long time. But it is a little nerve-wracking because Nate Schmidt is out for God knows how long. It seems like it's a little more week to week. He was at the the season ticket holder event over the weekend when they were at the Ferris wheel thing.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yeah.
He was there. Seems
it
like he had a break.
Yeah.
Apparently he looked pretty chill.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's great because you need Nate Schmidt to come back. And I'm not putting this on Englund. I'm not putting this on Hag. I'm not putting this on Theodore. As a group effort, there was either little to no communication or just in the team itself seems like we've all played together for a long time. So we really don't need to work on this stuff. So because we've already played together for so long, we don't
right.
need to get that feeling. I'm like, you still need these reps though. Like you have to rebuild these every single day. And I'm not saying rebuild it from scratch. You have to do power play, penalty kill, whatever
mm-hmm.
else. It just seemed like everybody was waiting for somebody to step up and do something. And that didn't happen until the third period when Marc-Andre Fleury was literally standing on his head and he goes out and has three poke checks
right.
in one
yeah.
play. And then seconds later, Max Pacioretty goes down and actually scores a goal. And it's a little bit too late because the Knights started playing again with 3.5 minutes left in the game.
I will say, when he scored that goal, I mean, it woke them up.
It woke the building up.
The whole building was awake after that point. And so, man, it's one of those situations where it's like, if this game was a minute longer, tie game, and it's going overtime.
Well, it was. It was 60 minutes. Well, it was technically, if you want to add, it was 44 minutes longer than the effort that they gave tonight.
Well, yeah. You're right. You're right. Like, it was not the whole second period was, they just looked out of sync. Just totally off in the second period.
And they got so deep into a hole that they really weren't able to generate much on the other side of the second intermission to start out the third period. It took them a while to, because I swear, halfway through the period, I don't know if they had a shot on net. Because I was sitting next to Jeff Ross, a.k.a. Jeff Paul.
Jeff Ross.
And I turned to him, I'm like, oh my God, there's half a period left. I was just like, wow. I'm just being like, we have to watch 10 more minutes of this.
Right, yeah.
And also just being like, this is a really dominant performance. But like I said earlier, things happen. Momentum changes quickly. All of a sudden, the Knights get new life. They start putting some chances on Tuukka Rask. They had a couple of good chances late. But too little, too late. And it was just not a great overall team effort for your Vegas Golden Knights. Not on anyone in particular, but you could definitely tell that the team was absolutely derailed just 2 minutes into the second period and had to spend the next, 30 minutes trying to get themselves together?
There were so many instances where there was like a nice play to be developed and someone would send someone else a nice pass and they just couldn't handle they just couldn't corral the puck.
Nobody couldn't catch passes and they weren't giving good passes.
The passes were off and when they were on, sometimes the other player just couldn't hang on and it's just weird. It was something just was off tonight. So I'll tell you who did not look off tonight whatsoever. Riley Smith has been dominant.
Isn't that what Riley Smith does, though?
Straight up dominant. Like, all right, inaugural season and last season,
obviously
a good season. Like, obviously, like, good player the last two seasons for Vegas.
Absolutely.
But these first three games, even though they lost tonight, he has looked stupidly good. Freakishly good. Like, I remember there was one play where I think he was along the far half boards. And he kind of like just put on a nice display of fancy stick work and kind of deked. I don't want to say he deked a guy out of
his
shoes.
He used his body to his advantage and basically
he
shielded the puck and
he maneuvered his way into a little open space. He ended up losing the puck. He chases it down, bats it deeper into the zone, goes and chases it down, makes life miserable for them. Just him. I don't know where the rest of the team was, but Riley Smith has been unreal to start the year.
The rest of the team is what I would call, when I used to coach up in Minnesota, doing it for the gram. And if you're unfamiliar with that saying, it's doing it for the Instagram. And if you ever see any people with their phones out happening to take pictures, selfies whatsoever, some people are like, we're going to go for a hike up the mountain, but just for the picture, not to just like sit at the top of the mountain. That team, the Vegas Golden Knights, tonight showed up. They did it for the gram. They showed up. They put on their uniform. They played for a little while, but for the most part, they didn't go all the way. And you could definitely tell that and in Riley Smith's play, because he is playing that well, but he's also standing out amongst, at least tonight, a team that is not fully there, and a team that's not firing on all cylinders at this particular point. And so it kind of helps raise him up a little bit and helps raise up another person we've already mentioned. Max Pacioretty has been playing.
Yeah, he's been good.
His butt off all game and all season, even the preseason. He had a ton of points, which is great.
The pass he made to Stone for that.
Oh, unbelievable
awesome
pass.
Glass had a really awesome shift that play, too.
Like, on in the game.
I know Glass didn't do, like, too much, and he kind of tailored off towards the end there. But
Your veterans don't do it, how can you expect
rookies? Exactly, yeah. Still, it's encouraging to see him doing
absolutely
so little things like that. Even if it's just one play per game, that's what's going to build the confidence, and that's what's going to turn him into a superstar player.
Absolutely. And as much as I want to put everything on the Knights, they're also playing a team that was in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals last year. This is a very, very deep Boston Bruins
team. Tuukka Rask had a Conn Smythe-worthy postseason.
Another Conn Smythe contender of last season. Charlie Coyle was an absolute beast.
He was good.
on the defensive end of this game. He was breaking up two-on-ones like it was his job. He was everywhere. He was doing what Charlie Coyle does. Those people in Minnesota are very familiar with the way that Charlie plays. Mm-hmm. He was everywhere. Marchand was obviously everywhere. Charlie McAvoy was very very good tonight as well.
Marchand, like the thing with him, like this is a little off topic, but like he's just so good.
Yeah, and that's what's annoying about him, because he's so good, and he's almost too good to like do the stuff that he does.
Everyone,
the stuff, the antics that he pulls, and we didn't see any of that
doesn't
tonight.
He doesn't. He doesn't need any of those antics or anything like that. He's just so good that if he just would play hockey,
Same with Tom Wilson. Yeah. Same exact thing. But that's their job, is to instigate. At the end of warmups, Marc-Andre Fleury usually ends warmups before a pregame by sending a puck all the way in the other the defending team's net, because everybody else is off the ice. Marchand did not leave the ice and did not let Marc-Andre Fleury complete that ritual. He stood out there. Marc-Andre Fleury shot it at the net. He batted it right back at him. And I'm not saying that's any way, shape, or form. But that's the type of attitude that he has. And it's up to you to whether or not it affects you. Yeah. Clearly, I don't think it affected Fleury in any way, shape, or form. But
did you hear what Marchand said before the game?
No.
So I think someone asked him, like, being in like the loudest arena in hockey, like, what do you think about that? And he basically said, like, every arena is loud. They just have the loudest bass here. That's all it is. And so I'm sure Knights fans,
Brad. We'll see you in a few months.
Yeah.
And maybe in a few months later from that.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully for the Knights, not hopefully for the Bruins. I'd rather
it'd be nice for the,
But if that's not the case, I'll take them in the Stanley Cup final. I'll take that series. But they did play really well outside of that first 10 minutes, that being the Boston Bruins. And they took advantage. They smelled blood in the water, and they kept going after them. And like you said, with the passes, with the disjointedness,
just so much that it was just off.
Right, but the thing was too is that Boston is getting in their heads, not just by doing the antics before on the ice, but when you have that type of momentum, when they're playing as well as they were, that being the Boston Bruins, they just keep roaming. They're going to keep pressuring you. And that's what they did to the defensemen of the Golden Knights, especially in the second period, is that they made the adjustment of figuring out, they're like, oh, they're running a lot of their offense from the points with the defensemen. Maybe we should take not one forward, but two forwards and have them pressure the D and the half wall and see if we can basically isolate those two players with the puck and then spring an odd man rush going back the other way. They were successful in doing that several times.
Yes.
And the Knights didn't adjust. They did not adjust, or their adjustments didn't work, or something just wasn't there tonight. And there are going to be other nights that are just as bad, worse, better. That's hockey season. Yeah. But this is the first loss, so it's the only loss we have, and it's been nothing but berries and cream otherwise. So, and clearly, after the game was finished, I went down to the locker room. I was expecting a few guys in there, two.
Yeah, very quick. It was very quick in the locker room, and Gallant didn't talk too long either.
No, and that's fine. We're not going to.
It's a loss. Like,
we're not going to rail on him.
Yeah.
We're not going to rail on him. But there are things to take away from this game. Every game is a learning experience, because some people's seasons start and end in one game, and some people's Conn Smythe year or Hart Trophy year start with a catalyst of one game. And maybe this was a game for someone to do well, and maybe it was a catalyst for somebody to do poorly. But either way, Golden Knights are what? 2-1-0?
2-1-0.
With Arizona on Thursday.
That's right.
Calgary at home on Saturday. At LA Sunday.
And that is going to be an interesting stretch.
It is going to be. That's a lot of games in a very short span of time.
It's a lot of games, but also, like, it gives us an opportunity to see how are they going to manage this goaltending. Because we've talked about this ad nauseum.
They have to.
We've talked about this before. Like, they cannot keep pushing Fleury like they have been. He's 35. I know he's technically 34, but he's 35 years old. You can't continue to play him on pace for 70 games. He was on pace for 70 last year, then he got hurt. And,
So which one do you put him in now? Because
I think he plays Arizona.
Before the game, I would have said the same thing, but now, with this game, with having that taste in your mouth after a loss of this nature, Fleury might want to get back in there and just say, like, let's just get this going and take that. And that's fine. I'm fine with that. Whatever game it is, All I know is that Malcolm needs
to
play
one. He has
to
play one. Yeah.
And I asked Gallant this in practice maybe yesterday or the day before. I'm like, is there a plan to play Malcolm? And he said no, but he said yes. Like he basically do-si-do'd around it. And I think I have the audio of that, so hopefully I will finagle that for everyone.
Yeah.
If not, I apologize. But essentially said, yeah, I mean, that's the plan, but it's not because Fleury's playing poorly. I'm like, no, I don't assume that. I understand what you're doing, but you make this decision 5 or 6 times over the course of the year. Now's a great time to do it. You have 4 games in less than 6 days.
Yeah.
And so I think Arizona would be a good option for Malcolm, but I would totally understand why Fleury would want to have that game back.
I think I think Fleury plays Arizona. I really think I would like to see Subban get the start against Calgary. I know that's a good team. I know that's a good team, but they're at home. It's the first game of a back-to-back.
Yep.
So many times last year they played him in the second game of a back-to-back, and guess what? The entire team was gassed because they played the night before.
And they will be gassed this week with 4 games in a week and having that schedule this early in the season.
Yeah. So I think, I would like to see him against Calgary where the team is, for the most part, they're coming off a day off.
Right.
I don't want to say fresh because they just played 2 games just a few days
previously.
Yeah, they're fresher than what they were last
season.
They're
like fruit at a gas station. Fresh-ish.
Yeah, it's a good. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm very good at metaphors.
Like the bananas that they got there.
Yes.
They all have the brown spots
on
them.
They have the brown spots, and you're
fresh
like, this
bananas.
One looks slightly cleaner, but then you try to peel it, and you're like, oh, God, it's a mess. Yeah. It's awful. There's bruises everywhere. But that's okay, because if you're in that big of a pinch, just eat the banana. If you have to buy a banana at a gas station, that means you're hungry. Go buy it. It's fine. You won't die.
I don't think I've ever had a bad banana, to be honest with you.
That's never interesting.
Once. Yeah. Never once have I had a bad banana.
That could be a quote that could be maybe put on the button bar later on for use, but we won't.
Go ahead.
I definitely won't.
Yeah.
I'm super mature. I hope you know this. I'm super mature.
You might be the most mature person I think I've ever met in my life.
Thank you.
Honestly, you're incredibly, no silly jokes.
I have my spots.
Yeah.
I have my spots.
Yeah.
But we all do. We all do. We don't want to stay here too late. It is 10:30, or not 10:30. It's currently 11:02. We're good at telling time.
You're completely off.
I agree with you, though. If Fleury does decide to take that game against Arizona, I think you
give
Malcolm that
it.
Calgary
yeah.
game.
I think
that's the better of the two. And
I don't
honestly,
want
that's
him...
a huge confidence booster for Malcolm if they're able to play well.
Yeah. Who do they have after Calgary again?
L.A. At L.A. the next day.
And they have to travel. Like, it would be different
travel.
If they... Travel. Yeah, I know, but still, like, it's a pain in the butt
you still
regardless,
gotta get a plane.
You know?
You still got to do it.
So, like, I don't know. I feel like... I just think it would be so much better for Malcolm to get that start on Saturday against Calgary. And especially, I know a lot of people are going to be like, man, you remember what happened the last time he played Calgary? You, like, got 7 goals in on him and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that... Maybe that's lit a fire inside of me. He's like,
absolutely.
Man, I remember last time I faced these dudes and it pissed me right off. So maybe this time he'll be complete. And again, I can't stress it enough, in front of a more fresh team than he was last season.
Right. And if you dig yourself a big hole, it means you got to get a bigger shovel.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do. And so you got to slay your dragons and go after that. And then there's no dragons created. We're only going to see the Bruins one more time in the regular season and hopefully in the cup final. Kind of, not really, but rewind and restart this whole podcast to get the entire breakdown of that exact quote that I've already said tonight. But
I mean, this isn't exactly a big deal at the moment because obviously we still have the entire season to go.
Yep.
But Malcolm Subban is going to be, once again, an RFA this summer.
Uh-huh.
You would think that the team would like to get him in some more games to figure out his true worth.
Mm-hmm.
He's arbitration eligible, so he'll be able to.
Yeah,
that whole
arbitration
thing.
Was more heavily used in the past. I think it's about to make a resurgence, though, because there are so many restricted free agents that are holding out these days. So.
Right.
Let's move on from Malcolm Subban and goaltenders. For once, I know people, it's a very goaltender-heavy podcast, but believe it or not, the goaltenders are the ones that watch the most hockey and often are the ones that know the most of what's going on around them. But let's shift a little bit. Nick Hag, he's only played 2 games in a row. Jimmy Schultz still up here. Do you see them making a switch, or do you see them sticking with Nick on Thursday against Arizona?
I wouldn't be shocked. They made a switch? I thought Nick was good in the second San Jose game.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing amazing, but
he was fine.
He didn't stand out
yep.
in a bad way, and he wasn't particularly he didn't catch my eye oh wow.
And that's a good thing as a defenseman. Sometimes just being nameless is great.
So he Most did. Times. I thought he did a solid job in that game. Tonight, I didn't think he was particularly good, but again, Nuts. I didn't think he was awful either. So I wouldn't hate it if they decided to give Schalt an opportunity, but his preseason was just objectively worse than Hague's. I feel like
Schultz.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've talked a little bit about the transition period for Jimmy and him getting down here later and it being his first year in the pros and all the other things, but he's up here for a reason right now. And him and Nick Hague are still engaged in basically an informal regular season tryout right now. So unless you're planning on keeping Jimmy Schultz up here or both of them up here the entire season, which I do not think is their plan. Mm-hmm. I think you have to go back to Schultz because you've had two games with Nick, and I understand you don't want to go game in, game out. Game in, it's really hard to get into a rhythm as a player when you're going, I'm scratched one night and I'm on the ice the next if you're trying to break the roster like both of those guys are. So I would, if I were a betting person, which I am, I would put money down and say Jimmy's playing on Thursday. If he's not playing on Thursday, that says something, but it doesn't say everything.
Now, keep in mind, he's not, what's it called?
Jimmy's on a one-way. Yeah.
He's not waiver exempt.
I thought everybody was waiver exempt now. I thought that they said that after the preseason end. They're everybody's waiver exempt. We're not worried about waivers.
Well, I mean, if they send him down, he's exposed.
Nick or Jimmy?
Jimmy. Because Nick is still on his entry-level deal, so he doesn't they could send him down and it wouldn't be an issue.
Well, yeah, Jimmy's on a one-way contract, which means he gets paid his money in the NHL, the AHL, the East, wherever they send him, he gets paid the same amount of money. So if he's not performing up to whatever the money he's signed to, mm-hmm. it does not matter because if you send him down, he will get paid that same amount of money. And that's a little bit of red tape for some teams, and like you said, there could be waiver claims, but waiver claims are so rare in the NHL. It's not like football where they're just waivers. They just claim NHL waiver claims are very, very rare, even if they are good players. Not just because – it's not that teams don't want them, but it's more or less if you're a team and you pick someone up and you're going to have to give compensation back, mm-hmm. but also you're creating a bad working relationship with that franchise – that being the one that you're claiming that player from. The NHL's very close-knit guys that are just we're not going to really ruffle anybody's feathers because you never know
which
who you're going to be working with.
Which is boring, by the way.
It is boring, but it
is. That's stupid.
It's one of the stupid hockey things.
Uno, what was the offer sheet for Sebastian Aho? That was just such on one hand,
if you're going to do an offer sheet, do it like what they did with Chris Pronger.
Yeah.
Or with Shea Weber.
Yes.
Yeah. You say, we'll give you 10 years for 100 mil or 8 years for 100, whatever it was, some egregious
something
amount.
Crazy.
If you're going to burn you're going to burn a bridge, make sure the fire continues into their fork.
Yes.
At least a little bit.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
I don't know.
Jimmy's not going to get he's getting paid, I think, $900,000. His cap hit is still relatively small, so it's not a huge, huge deal.
$850,000. You're right there. Yeah.
Pretty close. But yeah, like we've said in previous Nightcap podcasts, both of them are not going to be up here for the whole season. There might be other defensemen that are down in Chicago right now that we will see later on in the season. But right now, it's a two-horse race, and whoever plays next, it's not saying they're going to win the race, at least for now.
Yeah.
It would just be telling if they went, okay, Jimmy, you're going to play this game, and then we're not going to play you for three. I'm not sure what they're doing. It'll be interesting to see what we find out. I'll have my eyes on it at practice, and I'll make sure to ask Gallant that as well. But, rookie defensemen, they're going to be tough, and especially when I understand why they stick Derek Englund with both of them because Derek Englund is the one with the most experience.
He's the veteran.
He's the veteran.
38.
He wants to. They want him to instill his wisdom and things on them as much as possible. And it's not really about we security blanket out there. It's just watch me and learn how I play the game and emulate that and kind of have that mentor mentee relationship.
Yeah. A lot of people, I know a lot of people are kind of clamoring for England to be up in the press box. Bad news, not happening.
No.
If he were to go, if they were to healthy scratch
Derek
King. I don't
know if people are clamoring.
Well, I mean, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter do it.
Really?
But then again, there's different subsections of the fan base. There's the
Absolutely.
Fan base on Twitter, which is always the
things are like, on fire.
Yeah, exactly. I feel
either
like
we're
it's
setting fires on other people's things or our things are on fire.
Yeah, there's no in between. Yep. And I've seen a lot of people saying, like, man, like we need to get them in there. And I don't think they're necessarily wrong. I don't think I don't want to say he's a Norris candidate or anything like that for the Knights. But you know, like tonight, we saw that he certainly has his issues at times. And but man, if they were to put him in the press box, there would be mutiny.
Let me tell you, he ain't getting anywhere near that press box as long as Nate Schmidt is there.
No.
Nate Schmidt, tonight you could tell there was a piece missing there. And that's something that we didn't see against San Jose, because San Jose just isn't playing well right now. They're 0-4, and they're not scoring goals, and they're mostly awful always, but especially this year. And that was the
barometer.
But
it's all right, because now they signed Patrick Marleau.
I know.
So now all their problems are solved.
He's found the fountain of youth.
That's right. He's going to score like 50 goals this year.
He scored 50 goals when he was on a line with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner.
The heart. Yeah. He's going to win.
That'll fix it.
Rocket Richard.
That'll fix it. But either way, that was the barometer test that they had faced. And this is the Boston Bruins were their first test outside of the San Jose Sharks. And it was a hell of a test against a hell of a team who was very good last season, has done a great job in rebuilding their franchise over the last 4 or 5 seasons, and is very deep and very similar to their own. And they had spots where they were dominating the Boston Bruins. And they had spots where they were being very successful and imposing their will on the Boston Bruins. But they weren't the ones that sustained it. They weren't the one. The Boston Bruins weathered the storm on the road, 3 hours behind their time zone.
Yeah.
And they came in here.
Which
and
is
they
harder
took,
than you would
yep,
think.
And they came in here, weathered the storm, and then took your game and then shoved it right back in your face.
Right, yeah.
And it's just, you have to be able to adjust on the fly, and you have to be able to take these momentum swings and these punches and go and not get so disjointed. But that's something that as this team gels further, as we go along the season, as some of these young guys get more experience, I feel like there's a lot of hand-holding in some areas right now, or at least they're using a lot of the high-end players to help bring them along, which is fine. That's how it should be. And Gallant even mixed up the lines as the game went on, which we haven't really seen in the season thus far. But when you're winning and scoring that many goals, there's really no
reason to change it. He doesn't mess with his lines too much. Like, the top two lines, I feel like, unless there's an injury, I don't think he's moving those around, honestly.
And,
like,
and I keep forgetting.
Barring an insane, you know, change of,
right.
of performance.
And I keep forgetting. We just said Nate Schmidt's out. Alex Tuck's out still.
Yeah, he's still out.
Cody Eakin is still out. Those three players.
Though he did skate the other day.
He did skate, and apparently he's looking good. But those three players, for different reasons, are incredibly important pieces to this lineup. And I'm not saying that once they re-enter the lineup, it's like, it's all fixed, that we're going to win every game.
Yep.
But those are different types of scorers and different types of assets that this team has that they use them in certain situations, like the penalty kill, like the power play, like offensive or a defensive zone face-off on the right side against, you know, Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand. Like, you can't tell me that Cody Eakin wasn't missed tonight with the depth that the Bruins brought in. And that's why they have Cody Eakin. That's why they have all of these great pieces on the Golden Knights roster. But you can tell that there are some holes.
We were talking about this before we went live. Like, tonight really was a good litmus test for the Golden Knights, because like we were saying, the first two games. Excuse me. First two
did
games
you choke
were
on some air there.
Yeah, I did. That was weird. First two games were against a bad San Jose Sharks team. 0-4, by the way. In case you're listening to this and you haven't been keeping track of the Sharks, 0-4, not good. So
less than stellar.
Not optimal.
No.
So, but against a bad Sharks team, they dominated, which they should have.
Yep.
They face a very good Bruins team that just won the Eastern Conference.
Yep.
And
they have three more games this week against very good opponents because I think we both agree that Arizona is a lot better than what they've been in the last few years.
I agree,
Calgary's a defending Pacific Division champions and still has a ton of great, great pieces on their roster. And then nobody wants to pick on the Kings except for me. I'm like, the Kings are going to be, if everybody stays healthy, based off what I've seen so far, especially from Jonathan Quick, they're going to be a much tougher team to face this year.
And
they're going into their building as well on the second half of a back-to-back. So, If whatever this temperature is continues throughout the week, it's not going to be fun.
Has the play of Brandon Peary been a little
He had lackluster? A really rough night tonight.
He was not
great. But, you know, like I said, and for like the guy, said, it's game 3.
Yeah, for the guy for like who last season essentially had periods where he just scored at will whenever he wanted to.
But he's being asked to do more. Like we said, Eakins out, Tuck's out, Schmidt. You're giving him different responsibilities, saying, hey, period, instead of being the tertiary scorer on your line, you're primary or secondary. And with that also comes defensive responsibility. So you have to adjust your game, and that might be where we're seeing some of the areas in his game that are lacking right now, or at least not up to speed with everyone else's. He had a rough game tonight.
Yeah,
he's had a rough start.
I remember there was one part where he was coming in. I can't remember the exact play, what was going on, but I know he was in, I believe, with another Golden Knights skater. And I mean, it was a 2-on-1, I think, and he had the opportunity to shoot, and he didn't do it, which for him is not characteristic of his game at all. He's very much a guns blazing, let's get all the pucks on that kind of guy, I feel like.
And we saw that several times tonight from players where they were passing up grade A scoring chances
to defer.
And I don't think that's as much of a trend as it is, we're in game, we're getting our butts kicked. I'm not really sure what's going on. They're trying
something
to do something, and you're overthinking it a little bit. You're like, oh, you know what would be really fun? This perfect play. We don't need perfect play. Yeah. Just put the puck on net and go crash the net. Just go make something happen. If you have an open shot, take it, because those are hard to find in this league in general. They always try to make you go to option B because that's the lesser of the two options if you have two options. Mm-hmm. So plenty of things to clean up for your Vegas Golden Knights going forward. They'll have plenty of opportunity to do that this week. Anything else before we let the listeners and ourselves go have an actual life?
Nothing really. You can find me on Twitter at @RP_Quigs. And then make sure to go ahead and follow @KnightsOnIce. That's the site I write for. And you should definitely read us.
And if you're from Minnesota, which apparently a ton of people are, I've met two more people randomly that are from Minnesota.
Yeah.
If you're a little more Minnesota Wild inclined, and it's okay to be fans of more than one team or to be still interested in some others, you're also in Hockey Wilderness, too.
Correct. Hockey Wilderness.
So plenty of hockey content there. Probably just as much as there is on CBS Sports Radio, 1140.radio.com, where you can find all of my great stuff for the Vegas Golden Knights, NHL-related, sports-related. You can find that there. You can follow me on Twitter, @LindsayBrown35, and on Instagram, @LindsBrown35. And this has been the Literal Nightcap Podcast.
Double entendre.
As we
the Golden
end
Knights
this at 11:17 p.m.
That's
on
right.
October 8th. Ryan, thank you so much for being here and for just decided, well, we're kind of self-imposed night owls, but also we're naturally there. But I can't wind down after games within an hour, so we might as well get some content on it, right?
You're right. Exactly.
Well, it's been a pleasure, as always. And,
of course.
Follow us along. We'll see you guys on Thursday. Bye!
The Nightcap Podcast with Lindsay Brown is produced from the Las Vegas-based studios of CBS Sports Radio 1140, a radio.com sports station.